live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
Now, I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Current Sports is live in your ear on this October 1, 2019. I really hope you guys are out there having a great, 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 great Tuesday. But if I had to guess, I know exactly who is not having a great Tuesday. Detroit Lions fans. Yep, right on cue. Right on cue. Connor Mathis is making a return to the show today. Jack Kerwin, I believe, has an exam that he didn't really prepare for. So he hit up Connor like, hey, Connor, you're still in the area, man. Can you hold down the fort? So Connor Mathis is behind the glass today, and I'm a bit glad because Jack Kerwin and the diehard Detroit Lions fan that he is, he would have not enjoyed today's show because I got to get some stuff off my chest, okay? And I'm just going to come flat out and say it right now. Many of you Detroit Lions fans are incredibly, incredibly annoying today. Beyond annoying. It's like irritable. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like annoying to the level where you're like, all right, I just don't even want to, let me just leave you be. I'm not even going to engage and go through this back and forth dance with you guys. You refuse. And this is what happens. You know, it's not even just you guys, in fairness. And I know you're Lions fans. You're Lions fans. You've been through a lot throughout your Detroit Lions fandom. So much has gone wrong for you. So you're always going to be hypersensitive when things like last night happen in the closing moments. Because, yeah, the referees were horrible, but they have been so bad. The NFL referees this season have been so bad, what's new? So I'm just going to tell you straight up, before diving into what happened last night on national television, Monday Night Football, ESPN, before you get my thoughts, I am going to warn you that after we get done with our headliners, many Lions fans out there will not like what I have to say. And I'm going to keep it 1,000 with you guys. All right, I'm going to keep it Andre. I'm going to keep it 3,000 with you guys today because it's just, it's beyond me sometimes, man. When I look at how often you guys pull out the excuses when it comes to a last-second Detroit Lions loss. I'm about to go into it right now. Let me hit the pause button on me. I'm going to hit the pause button on Al right now. And we're going to dive a lot into this Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers MNF game last night, okay? That will be the foundation of the show. If we've got time, and again, this all depends on you guys. If we've got time, we'll talk about some MSU football as well because another transfer came through the news wire yesterday. Another transfer. What does that say at all about the state of where this program is right now amidst that blowout 38-0 shutout loss in Madison, Wisconsin, the Madison Massacre on Saturday? What does this latest transfer say about the state of this football team today? and the future of Mark D'Antonio. And I want to make some points when it comes to Mark D'Antonio and this possibly being his final year at the helm of this team. I want to make some points that I didn't get a chance to address on yesterday's Current Sports. All right. So those will be the two foundational topics. The topic, though, will be Lions and Packers. You know, I just put out a little status, about 2 hours ago. And it's like blown up now. I'm going to read a few of those comments. How many do we have here? We've got 23 comments on that, 3 shares. I definitely annoyed a few of you guys. But a few of you guys understand exactly where I'm coming from, all right? So that's what's on the docket. I do want to let you guys know also, and this is kind of fitting. This comes at a really good time, at a really good week. Michigan State football on the bye because it's been such a bad year for Mark D'Antonio and his team. Many of you have already turned the page and are looking forward to Michigan State basketball. Tom Izzo and company, the number one team in the nation. So it's a fitting day because at exactly 1:45 p.m., so we'll still be on the airwaves here, Tom Izzo will open up Michigan State men's basketball media day inside of the Breslin Center. I wanted to tell you guys to keep it locked to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WKAR News, as well as WKAR.org, as we will have some coverage of MSU men's basketball media day. So a very busy day. Very busy day. Let's keep this train moving, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's start with Michigan State men's soccer as the men's soccer program hits the road to face a familiar foe today. Akron at First Energy Stadium. The last time these teams met was in the NCAA College Cup semifinals in Santa Barbara on December 7th of last year, with the Zips coming out on top 5-1. After a 1-1 tie against number 25 Maryland on October 11th, so a few days ago. The Spartans stand 2-6-3 overall this season and 2-1-1 in Big Ten action. After a win against Bowling Green, the Zips are 2-8-1 overall and 1-0-0 in MAC play. So again, tonight, Michigan State and Akron will go at it. And if I can just bring up real quick here the start time of that matchup between Michigan State and Akron. Now, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. MSU Akron on the road for the Spartans. According to Lansing Ignite player Marshall Hollingsworth, the team may be finished after just one season. The 26-year-old midfielder posted on his Instagram story yesterday afternoon talking about the team's success. He added, "Wasn't enough to save the club. So the boys are up for contracts because they're all free agents and deserve it. Thanks to each of you," end quote. Interesting post there. Now, when asked about the team's future, Ignite officials released this statement. Quote, "We are incredibly appreciative of the support shown for our club this season. However, no further updates on the club will be available until the conclusion of the 2019 League One season. We wish both North Texas SC and Greenville Triumph best of luck in this weekend's finals." So right now, it looks as though Lansing Ignite may be done after just one season. We'll have more for you guys on that story later on this week, okay? All right, Michigan State football Yeah, the first home game in a month will feature a mid-afternoon kickoff next weekend. The Spartans will host number 7 Penn State on October 26th, and the game will start at 3:30 p.m. and will be broadcast on ABC. Penn State is undefeated midway through the season and coming off a 17-12 win at Iowa last week. The Nittany Lions host number 16 Michigan on Saturday before making the trip right here to East Lansing. And as we all know, Michigan State football on a bye this week. They need it. Mark D'Antonio needs it. Get your mind right, please. Because after what happened on Saturday and then Mark D'Antonio's comments, him biting back at Hondo Carpenter of Spartan Nation, just not a good look. And saw this one coming. Michigan State football canceled. Well, I shouldn't say canceled. Postponed its presser for Tuesday. Each and every Tuesday, Mark D'Antonio usually talks to the media. I get a feeling, though, Connor, that if Michigan State would have won against Wisconsin, we still would have had a press conference despite this week being a bye week for MSU football, right?
Or maybe if they didn't get slaughtered.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Least,
maybe.
If it was closer, right? Exactly. I just have a feeling. I've got a feeling. I don't know. Can't prove it, but yeah. All right, Michigan State football just lost another player to the NCAA transfer portal.
No!
Yeah, Weston Bridges. Weston Bridges yesterday. He confirmed to the Detroit Free Press that he is leaving Michigan State University. The sophomore has not played this season after making the transition from running back to wide receiver in the summer. The 5'11", 208-pounder from Akron, Ohio. Another appearance for Akron in today's headliners. He played in 6 games last season and ran for 53 yards on 16 attempts. So what wasn't getting a lot of PT in the first place. So Weston Bridges deciding to test his talents in the NCAA transfer portal. All right. Michigan State added another much-needed commitment to their list yesterday. MSU football, that is, from 3-star Georgia native and running back Jordan Simmons. Simmons is currently ranked as the number 39 running back in the nation, according to 247sports.com. Simmons chose Michigan State out of a pool of 10 schools in which that they included, I should say, LSU, Louisville, West Virginia, Oregon, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida State, Colorado, and Ole Miss. So, Jordan Simmons committing to Michigan State football. And as expected, Michigan State's Cassius Winston of the MSU men's basketball team is on the initial watch list for the Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award. The Bob Cousy Award has been given to the top point guard in college basketball each year since 2004. Winston was in the running for last year's award, which actually went to Murray State's Ja Morant. MSU has never had a Bob Cousy Award winner. So if Cassius continues the stellar play that he had last season, he's going to have a really good shot at that award. Michigan State head women's basketball coach Susie Merchant has been named an advisory member of the Michigan Task Force on Women in Sports. That was announced yesterday by Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. With the addition of the advisory members, the task force brings together local and national leaders to develop strategies to support and promote opportunities in Michigan for girls and women in sports. This is what I believe Merchant had to say. Yeah, Merchant had to say this in a statement yesterday. Quote, I'm honored to accept the invitation as an advisory member to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's Michigan Task Force on Women in Sports. The governor's commitment to improve and empower young girls and women in our state through sport is truly exciting. So there you have that. Congratulations to Susie Merchant. All right, the Detroit Lions. They were gut punched in a 23-22 loss to the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Now, the Lions were leading 22-13 when they sacked Aaron Rodgers, A-Ron, on a 3rd-and-10 play in the fourth quarter. Lions defensive end Trey Flowers, he was called for a hands-to-the-face penalty on the play, wiping out a Kevin Strong sack and causing an uproar on social media, the TV broadcast, and on the Lions sideline. Now, replay of the penalty did show Flowers leveraged his hands near the shoulder pads and neck area of a Packers offensive lineman. And the ESPN Monday Night crew agreed. Color commentator Booger McFarland, who I think is doing an outstanding job in the booth this year, saying that the play should be challengeable. Alas, it wasn't. And three plays later, Rodgers connected on a 35-yard touchdown pass to Alan Lazard, who was huge in that game. That set the stage for an epic comeback at Lambeau Field. Flowers was called for another illegal hand to the face as well later on. So, yeah, I'm going to address all that. I'm going to get to all that in just a moment. Hold tight, okay? And last but not least, want to push this story along to you guys, or push this notification along to you guys. There's a Detroit sports doubleheader tonight to help ease the pain, possibly ease the pain, of the Lions losing last night. NBA preseason action as my Detroit Pistons travel to Philly to take on the 76ers in their second-to-last preseason game, tip time 7 p.m. And after Detroit hoops, the Detroit Red Wings will take on the Vancouver Canucks in Vancouver. Puck drop, 10 p.m. tonight. All right. Got that all out. Got that all out. You know what's next. Lions fans, we're diving into what happened last night, okay? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that live stream. Many of you already doing so. Thank you for watching there. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Trey Flowers.
It's a headline story, week in and week out. Look, I get it. Mistakes are going to be made, but you know what? We're inside shoulder pads. We're on shoulders here. Just a tough miss.
It just can't happen, though.
Called twice tonight and at the most critical juncture to give them the first down along this summer, and now to play hero again. And there it is. Walk it off and win it for Mason Crosby.
All right. You heard some of what went down during Monday Night Football last night as the Detroit Lions ended up losing in the closing seconds to the Green Bay Packers. And I just want to say this before I proceed. I want to give, because you won't like this. Most, I would say, if I had to put a percentage on it, what I'm going to have to say about this game, 80%, I'm going to go that high, 80% of you Detroit Lions fans will not enjoy what I have to say right now. So I want to give you just a moment. If you don't want to hear this, to turn off your radio, to turn off Facebook right now. Go ahead. I'll give you a moment. I'll give you like 3 seconds. Go ahead. Okay. All right. Now that the delusional Detroit Lions fans are gone, let's dive into this because, again, I am so incredibly annoyed with how many Lions fans out there, with how many are so short-sighted. How you look at that fourth quarter and you look at those closing moments and you look at, the Trey Flowers hands to the face, giving A-A-Ron another chance to rip your hearts and souls out, and you say, yep, the referees are the reason why we lost that game. If it wasn't for the referees, we would have won. Dang it. It's so hard being a Detroit Lions fan because we always get messed over by the referees. This happens every season. It's the reason why we haven't won a playoff game since the early 90s. It's the reason why we barely get in the playoffs. And if we do, we're probably going to lose. It's the reason why this franchise has been so bad year after year after year. Stop it. Stop it. That's weak sauce. That's what losing fan bases do, though. That's what losing fan bases do. You don't hold your team accountable. It's always out of your hands. Especially in a game like this. Can I say this, though? This Detroit Lions team is good. I'll admit that. I stated last week, Friday. I stated yesterday that if the Detroit Lions were somehow, some way able to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field, I would be turned into a believer that this franchise can win its first playoff game since 1991. I would hop on that train. Go Lions. They can do this thing. And I'll say this. I'm not there because they lost. So I'm not hopping on that train. But I'll say this. The Lions impressed me in a lot of different ways last night. I really believe they were going to pull that game off. They looked to be in control. Matthew Stafford, how about the flea flicker to start the game? Some moxie right off rip. Matthew Stafford on the money on multiple throws. Kenny Golladay playing out of his mind. That Detroit Lions defense manning up, putting pressure on Aaron Rodgers, getting some takeaways. That was a very impressive performance. But if you look deeper, and you don't have to look that deep, just look at the game. Look at the facts. The Lions had multiple opportunities to stomp on the neck of those cheeseheads in Wisconsin. And you didn't. And a franchise like you, Detroit Lions, that has had a troubled history, no doubt about it. The Lions have had a troubled history when it comes to blown calls and referees. Now, we can bring up the wild card game against my Dallas Cowboys 5 years ago. Or how about we talk about Calvin Megatron Johnson? He didn't complete the process, right? Against the Chicago Bears 4 years before that. I mean, we can go on and on and on. There's countless examples. The referees aren't kind to your franchise. So you know what? Your team has to do everything in its power to not allow the game to possibly be blown because of a blown call, or in this case, calls by the referees. That's just how it is. In order to get over that hump of being a losing franchise, you are going to have to take advantage of every opportunity and execute to the 10th power. And for the most part, you did that. But there were some moments. There were some moments, folks. And allow me to show you the way of those moments. You had this game. You want to complain about something? How about complaining about the 5 field goals instead of touchdowns? And you were in the red zone 3 times. 3 times, and you settled for field goal after field goal after field goal. 3 times, and you settled for 3 instead of 6. You want to complain about something? How about the special teams miscues? I laid this all out on my Facebook page earlier. The special teams errors cost you in that game as well. You had your opponent on the ropes, bleeding. You just had to deliver the knockout punch. And you had multiple opportunities to do that. And so don't complain and be so short-sighted when you're looking at that game to say that, you know, Trey Flowers being called for a hands to the face is why we lost. Look at the big picture, folks. It's a lazy argument to blame the referees. How about, you know, not blowing another fourth quarter lead? You've done this multiple times. Multiple times. You know, the Lions did this in week 1 against the Arizona Cardinals. Did they not? When they wilted. Despite an 18-point fourth quarter lead. Blowing leads in the fourth is what this franchise does. You can't do that. How about week 4 against the Kansas City Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes scrambling for 15 yards, 4th and 8, to keep a game-winning drive alive. That was also a big, big mistake. And then on Monday in so many ways. You know, twice in their first 3 possessions, settling for field goals after crossing inside the Packers' 10-yard line. That's weak. And you had 188 yards of offense in that first quarter. That offense was aggressive. Matthew Stafford putting the ball on the rope, finding receivers downfield, receivers making incredible catches. It was beautiful to watch the Honolulu Blue on that field at Lambeau Field doing what they did in that first quarter. And then, I don't know what happened the rest of the game. Just the first quarter alone. Not even just the first half. Just that first quarter was really beautiful. Quarters 2, 3, and 4. You want to know how many yards the Lions had? 111. Yeah, you had 188 yards in the first quarter. And then the rest of the game, you put up 111. Kerryon Johnson was pretty much ghost. Was he not? He had a few runs here and there, but he didn't have a breakout game. I'm not even sure. Connor, can you look this up to see how many yards Kerryon Johnson had on the ground? Because I know it wasn't a lot. It was mostly Matthew Stafford and his arm doing work for the Detroit Lions. Actually, I got it right here. No need. 34 yards. 13 carries, 34 yards for your premier running back. You're not going to win that way. You're not. Where's the balance at? Where is the balance? These are all the things that you're choosing to ignore because you're mad at the referees. Sound like babies today, man. I hate it. It's the easiest sports argument in the world. It is so lazy to sit on your couch to watch the closing moments. Sure, were they key drives and were they mistakes? Definitely. The referees blew it. But can you tell me, all my listeners out there listening right now, can you name one time this season where you watched an NFL game and after the game you said to yourself, oh, hot diggity darn it, that was a really well-called game by the referees? Like, you've never said that. The referees have been really bad this season. Heck, I could probably go back to last season and the season before that. The referees have not been great. You know, just about every game you're seeing some big mistake here and there. And if you're the Lions, who have been nipped time and time again by the Zebras. You don't put it in their hands. You close them out so that if Trey Flowers is called for a phantom hands to the face, it does not cost you the game. And can I bring up the defense? I haven't heard anybody bring up this today. Defensively, the Lions defense, which was pretty good throughout this game, but that defense let the Packers possess the ball for nearly, 12 minutes? 12 minutes of the decisive fourth quarter. 12 minutes. Almost 12 minutes. How many minutes is in a quarter, folks? 15. Nearly 12 minutes is what the Packers had. And that's when Green Bay piled up 9 first downs. And yes, Flowers, those 2 third down penalties did extend those drives. But Rodgers threw a 35-yard TD pass on 3rd and 5. He scrambled for 12 yards on a 2nd and 8 and was a perfect, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 for 5 passing on the final drive before that Flowers' 2nd penalty, which came after the Lions, who were still leading by 2 points, let the Packers march into field goal range. I mean, come on now. The defense had opportunities to stop the Packers, and they didn't. And who was it, Connor? Aaron Jones? Smart kid, right? To just go down. You know, Pat Patricia said, let him score. I think it was Aaron Jones. It was Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, you know, he could have went in and you know, touchdown, kicked the field goal, Packers take the lead. And I think Matthew Stafford would have had something like a minute and some change to pull off some magic. Who knows what would have happened there. But very smart move by Aaron Jones because he recognized that the Lions were going to just let him walk into the end zone. He said, nope, that ain't happening. I'm not giving you the ball back. He sat down, and then they drained the clock, and then game-winning field goal by, who was it, Mason Crosby. So, yeah, man. These are the things that you choose to ignore. And I'll say this. To ease this blow a little bit, I'll say this. I do think the Lions are really close. And I think my perception is changing a bit when it comes to this team and this franchise. I think Matt Patricia is doing some good things. I was a little rocky that first year, just like many of you were. I think the majority of you guys were. But we're seeing this team get better. We're seeing guys make big plays, not afraid of the moment. If this was the Lions of the past, the Lions would not have been even competitive on that stage, Monday Night Football, at this point in the year. This team looked good. Looked good. But not good enough in key moments to beat a team led by one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. And Aaron Rodgers made big plays. And you know, I can even dive deeper if you want me to. I mean, I could go on and on and on here. You guys are talking about 2 moments. And probably, you know, Marvin Jones as well. I believe, you know, the whole pass interference situation with him. But there are so many other moments that I could bring up in which the Lions could have taken advantage of to win that game. But, if I wanted to dive deeper here, you know, the 5 field goals, 1 touchdown, 3 of 13 on 3rd down, dropped TD pass. Did you forget about that one? 12 men on the field for that field goal attempt. Lions fans, how do you explain that stuff? Huh? I know it stings. It stings anytime in the closing moments the referees blow some calls that give the opposition a clear advantage. It's not fair. But please look at the bigger picture. Please. And start holding your team accountable in the grand scheme of the game and not just those closing moments. All right. That's off my chest. When we come back, Going to get the thoughts of Connor Mathis. Going to read a few of your comments, and they are rolling in right now. If you got the gusto to post me up live here on the air, our phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. 517. I love you guys. You guys know that. I just had to get that off my chest. I'm a little annoyed today. These are back-to-back shows in which I have been pretty annoyed. You know, we talked about MSU football and what happened on Saturday. I was annoyed the whole hour. And my Cowboys lost as well. Yeah, it's just not been a great week so far.
To the Jets.
Just stop, Connor. Why you gotta go there?
To the Jets.
Why you gotta go there, dude?
To the Jets.
All right, man. Okay. Just rub it in. All right. We'll see you on the other side of this first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm sorry, Lions fans, but that's just how I feel. All right, that's what segment A was dedicated to. You know, I don't get you guys sometimes. Well, I do. I get it. You guys are fans. You know, fan is short for fanatic. You know, and you guys act on emotion and impulse, especially when this franchise has let you down year after year after year. You become hypersensitive. All right, it's like you know when you've been done wrong in so many different relationships, you know, or maybe just one. Maybe when you're in a relationship and you've been done wrong a few times or many times, you know, if you're dating the Detroit Lions many times, you know, you become hypersensitive to everything, and you act on emotion without looking at the bigger picture, and. I don't know, man. I think that this team, though, is good. That's what the Lions proved to me yesterday. This Lions team can hang with some cats. No longer when you see Detroit Lions on your schedule are you thinking to yourself, oh, it's an easy win. That's a week off. Mm-mm. You got to bring it. All right, before I get to some comments here, Connor Mathis makes his return to Current Sports. You haven't been gone that long. You missed this, Connor?
yeah.
You know, Connor is starting a new job out in Owosso. He's already started that job, and Connor will be joining us. I'm gonna try to get Connor on a lot in November to talk some high school football as high school football, you know, dwindles down the regular season and the playoffs come. And Connor is a local high school reporter now for what publication again, Connor?
The Argus Press.
The Argus Press. So, but, you know, Connor's still in the area. So in situations like this where Jack Kerwin doesn't study for an exam and he needs to study. And
he hits me up at 1:30 in the morning, you know.
He hits Connor up at 1:30 in the morning, say, hey, man, you got my back. So we appreciate you, brother. Your thoughts on what happened last night.
Normally, the last couple of times we've had these things, I've sided with you that you can't blame the rest for one thing. But this is a bad trend. And, you know, for the one time that the Lions fans, you know, Lions fans' favorite thing to say is, you know, we're always getting screwed over by the refs, always getting screwed over by the refs. There's actually a stat that has some interesting information in that regard. So per NFLpenalties.com, Green Bay leads the NFL in beneficial yards this season from penalties. That's when the team opponent is called for a penalty. The Packers have amassed, you know, 501 yards through these penalties. Detroit is in dead last with 234 yards off opponent's penalties. So for once, at least up until this point in the season, there's a little bit of merit to, man, the Lions don't get some of these calls.
Because they're the Lions, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
This is professional sports, okay? It's no secret that the stars of the league and the good teams of the league are going to get some calls.
Yep.
Okay, I see it all the time in other professional sports as well. The NBA, I'm a big NBA fan. LeBron James.
There's a Jordan rule.
Is the Jordan rule. Jordan started this whole thing.
Yeah, the Jordan rule.
You know, anytime Jordan would go to the hole, you know, sometimes he would push off a little bit, maybe blowing the whistle, saying, hey, you fouled Mike. Mike is the face of the league. That's what happens. Now, I will say this, though, because last night was just so blatantly wrong. It should be reviewed. Oh, no, I agree with Booger. Why, you should be able to review that, shouldn't you? You know, legal hands to the face in a moment like that, that should be reviewable.
Here's where I'm at right now. If this were an isolated incident, kind of like the NFC Championship game last season, where they did an okay job of pass interference for the most part, nothing extraordinary, but, you know, they did okay. But that was like a freak accident almost. But this season, it's been bad. It's not just the Lions. This weekend, we had Patrick Mahomes get picked off because his receiver was tackled. Interception. Then we have, you know, the Browns-Seattle game.
Yeah, that's another
one.
Oh,
that was awful. That was awful. And then here's the other thing. You go into this game with the Packers. You brought up special teams penalty. The Lions had 12 men in the huddle. A couple plays later, Packers have 13 men on the field. No penalty. And there's a screenshot, and there's a bunch of people who are tweeting about it. It's already seen. 13 men. No penalty for the Packers. You then go down. You then go down, and we want to talk about the illegal hands to the face. Okay, cool. Maybe they missed that call. On that same play, though, you see there's Lions defensive lineman with a hand on the offense right in his face mask and getting pushed down. How can you get one and not see the other? It wasn't like the safety down the field was doing this and the line judge just happened to see this and everyone missed the safety. No, it's on the defensive line. That's inexcusable to me.
Right.
The other thing, too, which I think is a trend now, is with this pass interference review, is the head of officiating and the New York offices doubling down with their officials as opposed to, oh, we're actually going to review this. It's like, no, it couldn't possibly be wrong because our guys called it on the field. It looks that way. That's the optics of it because we haven't had an overturned pass interference. We haven't had the officials overturning of, oh, well, we missed that call. We got to fix that. And so I've said it every time this happens. There needs to be more accountability for officials. It just needs
to be.
It's getting to a point where
they need to be suspended. If you're missing, like last night, that crew, not once but twice on the same player, Connor, it looks fishy. One and two, yeah, those are big plays in key moments. Mm-hmm. That officiating crew should be suspended for, I don't know, what, two, three,
whatever
weeks,
it may be. But the thing is, it's not, again, it's not completely, most of the time it's not on the officials in the loss. But this occasion and the occasion in the Browns game especially, and you can even stretch in the Chiefs games, those are game-changing plays. And that's when I think it's okay to blame the officials. Blame your team too, by all means, because there's plenty of blame to go around here. But come on. They're just like people bring up, like you said, the easiest excuse for a fan to say is, oh, it's the official's fault and we have to, you know, raise our standard as a fan. The leagues need to raise their standards for the officials. Because when the officials keep screwing up like this, and there's most NFL games you cannot watch a couple plays without there being a stupid penalty. I mean, come on.
But Connor, that's not the reason the Lions lost last night.
Oh, it's not the only.
Lions took the L last night. You cannot. The Lions defense had three takeaways. And you have 9 points out of those takeaways. Come on,
it's a factor in the loss. Just like the defense not showing up is a factor in the loss. Like the running back, just like Kerryon Johnson looking great for the first couple of drives and then falling off the face of the earth is a contributing factor. These are all reasons for the loss. To say it's just the refs' fault is ridiculous, it's short-sighted, it's foolish. But to also say that the refs are not the reason why they lost is also incorrect because they played a key role, like it or not. No, regardless how the Lions played, they played a key role in losing just as much as the defense played in screwing it up at the end there.
You know what? I'll say what Dave Burkett said in his column today. The referees, the officials, made several critical mistakes on Monday, but the Lions made more, Connor. They made more. They had multiple opportunities in that game to close that thing out.
But you didn't. No, I agree. They had their mistakes. But my point I'm trying to make is whenever we have this, we try to shift all the we say, oh, it's not the ref's fault, it's the team's fault. We're shifting the attention away from the people who are screwing up constantly and still getting paid. I've said it before. Refereeing is the only position in sports where you can be incompetent over a long period of time and not get canned for it.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not letting the refs off here. If I sound like that, I'm not. I'm more so annoyed that some Lions fans out there just look at those moments. Like you said, they contributed in the loss. And I agree with you. I agree with everything you're saying right now. Officials who make mistakes like this in big games. This was a big game for the Lions. I mean, they could have took control of the NFC North with that win last night. You have to be held accountable. You should be suspended. Something's got to happen. And in the NFL, I don't know, they need to really sit down and look at certain things, certain aspects of the game, like illegal hands to the face. Because I've seen this happen a few times this season where guys are being called for illegal hands to the face when it's just right under their chin. Right or right near, you know, their face mask or chin in that area.
It falls in like they're over-regulating the pass rush.
And yeah, right.
You really can't do that without it being unfair for a quarter for the offense. I mean, it's not right. And the other point I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was Levitard's, the producers. They have their own like little podcast. And they brought up this important point here. You know, we have sports gambling in this country is starting to become more mainstream, and people are losing money on some of these. Some of these calls are costing people a fair amount of money.
It's not just those calls.
But here's the thing: when it's a game breaking situation like that, gamblers are going to say,
"Oh my goodness, I just lost my house." Well, you know, I mean,
there's a point to this though. The gamblers losing money, it becomes more mainstream. It might motivate certain leagues to maybe pay a little more attention to it as certain leagues start getting in bed with these bookmakers and such. But the other point they made too was they brought up a decent idea. Why not bring the official crew out in front of the media like you do the players? Because when the players players after post game, when players, coaches are criticizing officials,
face the music.
They get fined. But when the officials just can, I believe this is a direct quote from the show yesterday, can throw dynamite into the room and then dip.
Right. They need to face the music.
They need to face it. They need to go out there.
Right. They have to explain.
They can't hide behind the head of official sitting there 40 minutes after the game saying, and preparing a statement saying, this is actually what happened here. And we can't fault them for this human being. No. Make them accountable just like everyone else in sports.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't disagree with anything you're saying there, Connor. Where was I going with that? Because I wanted to tackle another point you made about the gambling. I'll get to that later on if I remember it.
That was just kind of their launching pad for what I'm saying is originally the NFL, like when these officiating mistakes happen, they can say, what did you lose? You just, your team lost, big deal, and kind of shrug it off. But now when you have other leagues kind of getting into the sports gambling thing,
right,
where there's other revenue on the line here, then I think the leagues will become a little more motivated, because if you're pissing off a group of gamblers who is with a sports book that you're in cahoots with.
Oh, this is the other aspect I wanted to bring up. It looks like things are fixed.
Oh, it does.
You know, when you have something like that happens last night, you're going to have some people out there to say, the league is fixed. I mean, you're messing with my money. Are the officials getting paid here?
Someone on Twitter had brought up like, somebody got to look into these officials' bank records and see if they're gambling stuff. That's a little extreme. But
they're
still
not a bunch of Tim Donahue's running around.
Exactly.
NFL, but, I hope not.
Yeah, but you just got it.
It looks bad.
It goes away if the league addresses it instead of saying, they're human, they make mistakes. That's not a viable excuse anymore.
Right. I'm with you. All right. We're having some trouble with our phone lines. I know some people have tried to call in, so I'm going to let that be known. So if you can't call in, try 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Not sure what's going on there. But again, you can weigh in on Facebook at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, tweet the show at WKAR News. And some people don't even have Twitter or Facebook. So you know what? You can even email me. I'm pretty sure everybody has email. All right. Email me at almartin@wkar.org. So almartin@wkar.org is my email. And you guys can also get in touch with me there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a few of your comments after this final break. I knew this was going to happen. This is turning into a Lions and Packers show. All right, because that was such a – it was a fun game. That was really fun to watch. I must say that. I really enjoy sitting on the couch with my pup watching that game last night. Incredibly entertaining. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have less than 10 minutes left here in the hour. Let's go to our Facebook page. Many of you have been weighing in, facebook.com/WKAR News. I'm also going to read a few comments that I got because a lot of listeners are friends with me on my my Facebook page. And I put out a status just reiterating what I've already said during segment A of today's show concerning the Detroit Lions' loss at the hands of the Green Bay Packers on MNF last night. Andy comments and says, two separate appalling issues. Number one, incompetent officiating at the highest level of professional sport. And two, Lions fans with hopes of winning. That was such a Lionsy game last night, wasn't it? This is what happens with the Lions. They lose in some, you know, dramatic, upsetting fashion in the line, in the referees,
and then they get a rule change like 5 years down the road because they got wronged 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's so Lionsy, man. That was a Lionsy loss last night. James comments and says, and this is what I put on my Facebook status. I'll just read it word for word. Again, I've already reiterated these points earlier on in the hour. Here we go with Lions fans taking the easy way out and blaming the officials for what happened last night. Were the calls on Trey Flowers horrid? Yeah, but stop. Looking at the entire game and keeping in mind that the NFL officiating has been bad all year, how about when the Lions went to the red zone three times, ended up with 3 points instead of six each time? Five field goals? I mean, three takeaways and you only come out with 9 points? How about the two special teams miscues? How about not blowing another fourth quarter lead? Cry me a river. Welcome to the NFL. And then I said, tune in at 1 p.m. 24 comments on my Facebook status there. James comments and says, bruh, thank you. Can't wait for you to call these clowns out on the show. So dumb. Our very own Brad Walker. Finally, some quality rationale. Every team, gets bad calls you have to overcome or not be in that situation in the first place. Our very own Scott Poe also weighed in. A team can't overcome a bad call that lets the other team run out the clock in response to Brad. So Scott and Brad disagreeing there. Then we have Megan, who comments and says, I agree that you can't blame the refs. The officiating throughout the game this year just makes the game less enjoyable to watch. I feel you on that, Megan. Hope says, Al, I agree with you 100% for the few times that I have. Yeah, Hope always disagrees with me on every single take. So how about Ryan Cole, a dear friend of the show? Ryan comments and says, I love you, Al, but this ain't it, homie. He didn't say homie. I just added that in there for a little Al flavor. The Lions made enough plays to win the game, and it was taken from them, plain and simple. The D made two huge third down stops, and they were taken away by phantom calls, not to mention the pass interference that should have been called on the other side. I hate griping with officials, but this was highway robbery, and everyone knows it. Anthony comments and says, our dear friend Anthony Iani, Al, I love you, bro, but come on now. The Lions made enough plays to win that game last night. Do you need to convert in the red zone? No question. But that phantom penalty on Flowers on 3rd and 10 with 9 minutes to go in the game isn't called when it's ball game. You can't tell me the refs cost them the game when the entire country is in Detroit's corner on this one. Nah, not everybody, Anthony. This is the publications you may be reading, but okay. just saying, man, they got hosed again.
In Anthony's defense, there are a lot of people on Twitter on the Lions side from lot of diverse publications. It's not just the sports blog people.
Yeah, but there are some that are also in my corner.
There are some.
Okay, there are some. My homie Jeremy, see, this is just a little, why you gotta go there, man? Al is just mad about them boys losing on Sunday. Dallas 3-3 after starting 3-0. Why you got to do that? This is, you know.
Oh.
Stop it. Don't go at my Cowboys here. We're talking about the Lions.
Al, how are you going to feel if my pathetic, winless Dolphins that are trying to lose beat the Jets at one point this season and your Dallas Cowboys couldn't do it? How are you going to feel? Because there's a good chance.
See, unlike pitiful Detroit Lions fans, I hold my team accountable. I went at my Cowboys on yesterday's show. That was inexcusable. They played like crap. I'm not sitting there blaming the referees or any other.
Well, because
Supreme
the referees
being.
Didn't screw them. The referees were kind of giving it to, we're kind of letting some pass interferences go their way, helping them get down the field, Connor, and they still couldn't do it.
Connor, we're talking about the Lions. Just stop it, man.
Sounds like you're trying to divert attention from your Cowboys not being able to beat real NFL teams and the Jets.
This show is about the Detroit Lions today, okay? Jonathan comments and says, two things exist at once. The Lions blew opportunities, no doubt. But I've never seen an outcome in a game more controlled by the refs. Have to let the players decide on the field. Can't have five field goals. They left 8 points easily on the field. That said, they actually did do enough to win and got robbed. Both are true. So, Jonathan, okay, he's making both points there. And then Eric, my man Doc, Al is just mad at his boys lost to the Jets. Why you gotta go personal
you
on my Cowboys?
Because
you guys know
to the
me.
Jets. You just cannot.
Connor, this is about the Lions.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the Lions.
It sounds like you're diverting attention.
Scott, and yet the defense did everything it needed to win the game before the Packers got the chance, to score that they didn't deserve. Bad calls, missed opportunities are not mutually exclusive. Both can happen and did happen in the same game. The fact remains, if the calls had gone correctly, the Lions would likely have won the game. Saying that they should have done more to overcome many bad calls. Completely misses the point. Okay. All right, I'll stop there. Barry Sanders even came out.
He was angry.
But Barry's a little biased.
Clay Matthews, former Packer, came out and was angry.
About
the officiating.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, to each his own. Heard my thoughts, you heard Connor's thoughts. We read some of your thoughts. It's been a fun hour, folks. Again, keep it locked later on this afternoon to facebook.com/WKERNews. Tom Izzo is speaking right now at MSU Men's Basketball Media Day. We'll have some sound bites for you on our website at WKER.org and our social media pages. So keep it locked for that. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. See you all on Hump Day. Be easy, people.